Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. For a married person, a strange man or woman is anyone that is not your spouse. All the rest are off limits. For singles, realize that no gracious, modest person is brash, loud, and aggressive. If you are looking for someone with whom you should start a family, look somewhere else. In today's world, sin is easy to find. Beware of flattering lips. They are prone to lie. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 7, verse 10, and join Pastor Ray Viola as he completes his study of this chapter.
And so here's this man, void of understanding. And behold, verse 10, there met him a woman, notice, with the attire of an harlot. Subtle, she's sly, she's cunning of heart. Now, note carefully that this woman, it would appear, in this context, is not a prostitute by trade, because we're going to see she is a married woman. However, she dresses like one. Oh my, I can get myself in a whole heap of trouble tonight right now. My dear sisters in Christ, old or young, it is one thing to dress smartly and to look attractive. It's quite another thing when you dress seductively and draw attention to yourself. No man other than your husband should see your cleavage. No man. And you shouldn't wear pants that are so tight that if you had a quarter in your pocket, I could tell you, could tell a half mile away whether it's heads or tails. But this is just common sense. What we're talking about is worse than a pandemic worldwide. It's an attack of the enemy upon something that is so beautiful and is to be held in high regard that God has created. The enemy is waging war against the covenant of marriage. But I will say to you, ladies, in defense of you who do dress modestly and smartly and look just beautiful the way you are, there are some men who are unregenerate, hopefully, not that many Christian men, who think impure thoughts about women in spite of how you dress. You could have a burqa on, and some guys will just go crazy. The Bible talks about in 2 Peter 2:14, those who have eyes full of adultery and cannot cease from sin. This woman, she is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now is she without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait. The word lieth in wait is a military word, waiting to ambush, waiting to attack. She's there at every corner. This woman is on the prowl, and she has one thing in mind. How can I get my sexual needs met? She's stubborn. You know what stubbornness is? For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. It's iniquity. It's idolatry. And so here is this naive man. So she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, notice, I have peace offerings with me. This day I have paid my vows. I just got out of church. So she lures him with smooth talk. She seduces his imagination with the way that she dresses. And now she moves in for the kill. She catches him. She kisses him. And the moment that happens, all reason is set aside. For at that moment, the lust of the flesh is driving the entire evening. You are no longer in control. Your flesh is. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You open up the crack of provision for the flesh, and Satan will drive a truck through it. That's just how he works. You give him an inch, he'll take a mile. The word impotent is more literally imprudent. I mean, this woman is what they would say in the old days, or at least when I was a young man, which was about 10 years ago. This woman is what we used to call hot to trot, and you know it. You can just tell. But notice, I have peace offerings. This day have I paid my vows. And so she speaks as a spiritual woman, but they're really words of hypocrisy. According to the book of Leviticus, chapter 7, verses 11 through 18, the leftover meat of the peace offerings were to be eaten before the end of the day. So this strange woman, dressing like a harlot, on the prowl, is religious. She's got some religious affiliation. Charles Spurgeon says, "Oh, the wickedness of those, male or female, who mix up religion with their filthiness. But this was a part of the bait with which to entrap the foolish young man. Therefore, she tells this man, came I forth to meet you, diligently to seek your face, and I have found thee." And he believes it. It could have been any guy, but he believes it. "Oh, I was looking just for you." Really? This was another one of the smooth talker's lies. She cared no more for him than anyone else. Who did she care for? Herself. That's all she cared for. You see, the spiritual predator, male or female, knows all of the lines. They know how to flatter. They know how to allure. They've had practice at it. And she allures him with her eyes and with her lies. And she just makes that appeal to his lust. "I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon." So now she's got the engine running, she goes, "Oh, there's more." And she allures him with sensual things, the smell of perfume and myrrh and etc. Now, in this context, it's poison. But those same ingredients are spoken of in the book of the Song of Solomon. It's beautiful within the context of marriage. That's the way it's supposed to be. Beautiful, wonderful, exhilarating, God-glorifying. This married religious woman, as we will see, was well cared for by her husband. These were expensive items. So she says to this man, and I'll show in verse 19, you see that she was married. "Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with love." And so she just opens the big door of imagination. Just come home with me. "Let us take our love until the morning." What about after the morning? "For the good man, my husband, he's not home. He's gone on a long journey." So at this point in time, this man, he should have run a long time prior to this. He should have ran away as quickly as possible. It's interesting that the husband is likened to the good man. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ is likened to the good man of the house. And it's not difficult to see the spiritual parallels to what we're reading in this chapter. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." It's like the world system is a spiritual prostitute. There's a spiritual prostitute religious system, Mystery Babylon, that we read about in Revelation chapter 17. "My husband's gone. He's not going to be back for a long time. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed." You see, this married pseudo-religious woman does not care if you are married or a single man. And so with her much fair speech, she's very enticing, very persuasive. She caused him to yield with flattering, that is, allurements of her lips. She forced him. She seduced him. Doesn't mean that she tied his hands behind his back. It means that she methodically raped him. Oh, I've heard and warned many over the years, oh, it was just a little text. It was just a little flirtation. Just a little hug in the parking lot after work. Stop it. Notice in verse 22 how graphic. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Ignorant of the real danger and incapable of resistance, this man quickly succumbs like a beast to be butchered or a criminal who is about to be put into chains. A dart striking through the liver. Painful. Lethal. As a bird hastes to the snare. You ever see an animal caught in a snare? Now, I'm not a hunter, but I watch National Geographic and it's graphic. That's the picture here. That is what is going on here. James 1:15 says, then what lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You see, sin destroys, beloved. All sin is serious. One commentator says, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing that it will cost him his life. So, the father paints this picture. Now, the son, we would hope, is sitting and going, wow, thanks, Dad. Wow, you really do love me. So now, what he says in verse 24, hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, plural, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she has cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. The word wounded carries the idea of mortally wounded. As a soldier on the field of battle. And the immoral woman is like a warrior who defeats and kills an army of powerful soldiers. A warning to beware and fear this danger and not assume that you can resist it. That's one of the flaws of our fallen nature. Oh, I can resist it. I can handle it. Others may have fallen, but not me. It's like when Jesus told the disciples, you're all going to forsake me tonight. Peter says, oh, not me. God knows you and me better than we know ourselves. It's wise to listen to Abba. Among the many who have been wounded by her would be in the Bible, David, Samson, Solomon. Perhaps you have a personal list of people whose lives have been shattered by this sin. But let me add here, brothers, that it is not just weak men who fall. Strong men in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong thoughts and for the wrong reasons fall. It's one of the tragic parts of ministry, dealing with the fallout. Now, there is forgiveness with God that he may be feared. Praise God for that. And there is healing. Praise God for that. But the pain, the sorrow, the grief. Notice the end of the chapter. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. Again, Charles Spurgeon says, quote, strong language, but none too strong. If young people, and I would just say anybody, knew what follows upon unclean actions, they would sooner burn their flesh with fire or sleep with venomous reptiles than have any communion with unchaste persons. Young women should loathe those gay fellows whose actions will not bear to be spoken of. And both young and old, male and female, should abhor any indelicacy of thought, word, or deed in books or mirthful play. That's why the Bible tells us, as believers, to flee fornication. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 7. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, I may not know the personal will of God as far as you are concerned, but as a pastor, as a Bible teacher, I can tell you generally what is the will of God for every creature, for every Christian. And that is that we should know how to walk and please God more and more. This is the will of God. I can tell you this, it's your sanctification, that you be consecrated, that you be separated unto Christ, that you should abstain from fornication. That's all sexual vice. That every one of you should know how to possess or control or manage his vessel, his body, in sanctification, in honor, not in the lust of concupiscence or the passion of lust, even as the Gentiles who do not know God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we have also forewarned you and testified. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore despises not man, but God, who has also given unto us his Holy Spirit. So what we're talking about tonight, Paul was talking to the Thessalonians about. There's nothing new under the sun. It's not like sexual immorality just began 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It's always been here. Just read the early chapters of the book of Genesis. Ever since the fall, this is one of the fiery darts of the enemy, one of the most effective fiery darts of the enemy, the fiery dart of immorality. So how can you and I maintain purity in an impure world? Well, we have to do something with our thoughts. Didn't Jesus say, if you lust after a woman in your heart, you've committed the sin? He didn't say you did it. He says, that's where you've got to control it. When it's in your heart, it shows you, A, you need a Savior. You can't save yourself. So when people say, oh, I keep the Ten Commandments. Really? I've had people tell you that. I've ever had somebody tell you, well, I don't need to believe the God. I keep the Ten Commandments. Really? So if it's a guy, say, have you ever had a lustful thought against a woman? Yeah, but I've never gone to bed with her. Well, then you're guilty. Because it shows that you're a sinner. You need a Savior. So we have to do something with our thoughts. Philippians 4 says in chapter 4, verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is any praise, think on these things. Don't you wish you could legislate that? Colossians 3:1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. How we need to set our affection on things above. If you profess to be a Christian and are living a life of sexual immorality, you need to hear this warning. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Don't be under an illusion. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that's homosexual, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. But notice, he said, and such were some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. Many of us were verse 10. But now we're in verse 11. Praise God for that. And so there was a mixed multitude whenever Paul or Peter or John wrote these letters, because there would be people who would be seeking. There would be people who would be interested in what's going on with those people. And they would preach the gospel. And they were told they needed to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in Psalm 130, verse 3, if the Lord would mark iniquities, who would stand? Raise your hand. If he were to mark iniquities, who would stand? But there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. There is forgiveness with God. And if you tonight are trapped by, involved in any kind of sexual immorality, it loves, it thrives in darkness. You know, like how plants need sunlight to grow? You know how sin grows? In darkness. You know what you need to do? Shine some light on it. Expose it. And it will wilt by the roots. Confess it. Call it what God calls it. If you need to confess it to someone else, make sure that you confess it to someone that will know what the word confidentiality means. And they won't go home and put it on Facebook. There's forgiveness. There's healing. Aren't you glad for that? I am. I am. I'm glad that Christ took all of those sins on the cross, that we could be freed from the guilt of them, from the condemnation of them, from the consequences of them. The Bible says that the gospel gives us a promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Jesus Christ can both and will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He will give you a new beginning. There may be consequences of dealing with those old sins, but he can turn it around. He can turn it around, and he does turn it around. He loves turning trash into trophies, creeps into crowns. He loves just blowing the minds of self-righteous religious people by restoring the most wicked individuals. Just think of Manasseh. Whew. What he did. How many people wrote him off? And he was born again. Amen. Let's pray together. And let's ask God to really, really, and when I say, when I should do this, I should be, I would think I would learn this after 38 years. I probably should do this more than. So when you, we need to be praying these things, and we need to not let it go in one ear and out the other, because I guarantee it, before the night's over, you're going to need the wisdom of how to deal with sexual immorality. It may be a commercial. I'm watching a baseball game or a football game. Why do they need cheerleaders? Why don't they just play football? Or are you supposed to drink a certain soda pop? Why did they ever call me to make the commercial? Why does it got to be a trophy gal? You know? Or those, you know what I'm talking about? Just be wise with the remote. Don't go where you wouldn't want to be if your wife or your children or your grandchildren or Pastor Ray comes walking and go, hey, how are you? We were just watching one of your teachings. Really? You guys know the kind of world we live in. And it's not going to get any easier or any better. But the counsel is the same. And what worked then will work now. God's word will work for anybody who takes it to heart and applies it. Amen. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, bless his holy, his wonderful.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.